This call is being recorded.
Hello, is there anyone online this evening?
This is Rich. I'm fine.
How you doing, Brother Rich?
I'm good. How are you, Gary?
I'm doing well, thank you. I want to tell everybody where we're coming from tonight, and then I'm going to pray, and we'll start with our lesson, which is very historical. So tonight we're going to come from 1 Kings, the 15th chapter. I want to look at about 7 verses. So the 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, starting at verse 8. We want to go through, well, maybe verse 7. So somewhere, give or take, between 14, 15 verses of the text that we really want to focus on. So 1 Kings 15 chapter, the 8th verse through about the 15th verse, or the 7th verse through about the 15th verse. Then we're going to turn to, Lord willing, to 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, and start with the 7th verse through about the 15th verse. So and all we're looking at, hopefully, the specific verses, about 14 or 15 verses total. I'll probably allude to some others. So what I'd like to do now is pray, because anything else I could probably say while I'm trying to teach and talk about some of the things that's happening in these particular verses on this evening. God, we are happy to come together again, and you've left us your word so that we can actually study it, and we want to study it because we find that there your truth is there. You've shown the pattern and the behavior of men, wicked men and men who are righteous, kings, prophets, priests, people who often were against your people, other nations. And we find, dear Lord, that the world wants to tell us how to live by psychology. They'll tell us to feel some, that whatever we feel inside of us is correct. However, we know according to your holy and righteous word, this is not the way you've left for us to understand how we are to live. You've defined what is holy. You've defined what is unholy. You've defined what is righteous and what love is and what rebellion is. In seeking truth, Lord, we come together to talk about your scriptures, your word, the truth in this world, dear Lord, that has tried to redefine what truth is. Lord, sometimes it's heavy, Lord, but there's no heavier truth than you, Lord, your truth. Give us the strength to be faithful to you in spite of it all. For you've left us your Holy Spirit. You've left us your word. I don't want to just try to talk about, teach your word. I want to live your word. I'm asking that you help all of us when we're together, when we're in our homes, when we're on the job, driving, or even when we're by ourselves. And may the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. I ask that you help us to be strong and be consistently faithful to you, to and with our children, our spouses, and anyone else that we happen to come in contact with. Help me tonight to try and speak on these historical things that we see in these passages. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name, amen. The title I'm giving this tonight is God is with you when you're with him. Repeat. The title, God is with you when you're with him. And right off the bat, I know that this would be a problematic title for some people, for many would say that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And they'll maybe make it sound very biblical or what have you. And I'll try to stay on point because it could be confusing as we go further into the Kings, for there are many names. It can be confusing as we enter change from passage to passage. What do I mean? Looking in the Kings, where we're going to be looking at both the Southern Kingdom as well as the Northern Kingdom. That Southern Kingdom is, we're going to refer to it as Judah, the one who through whom David's lineage would come, through whom we find that the Messiah would come, Christ. when we say the Northern Kingdom, we're going to refer to them as Israel most of the time. Well, so we're looking at these, and so sometimes it's going to be a little confusing. But again, my title that some would disagree with, God is with you when you're with him, we'll see that in the scriptures. And so I want to give sort of a very brief recap on where we were last Tuesday night. On last Tuesday night, we were also in both of the passages, 1 Kings and 2 Chronicles, but we were looking at Abijam. Sometimes, again, we see his name is Abijah or Abijam, same person. So I think it was last week where we were starting with 1 Kings, the 14th chapter, about the first through the seventh verse. So we're looking at Abijah, who still had inherited conflict with the king from the north. The king from the north had been given the 10 tribes. His name was Jeroboam. So sometimes when I'm speaking, I start remembering something. Some things is not exactly what I'm exactly wanting to remember at the moment. But Jeroboam was over the 10 tribes at the north. And we want to remember that Jeroboam had set this precedent that he had established two golden calves, one farther north up in Israel. I want to say, I believe that's Dan. And then let's say several miles before you would get to the portion, I'm gonna say it's almost central Israel, above Jerusalem. That was in Bethel. So those people were following, these Hebrew people were following Jeroboam, and God really was upset with him. Remember, he was cursed by the prophet. Jeroboam had conflict and fought with Abijam's father. If we remember, so I'm going to slow down just a little bit, and I'm not going to try to be super long tonight. I say that a lot, but I mean it. Abijam's father was Rehoboam. Okay. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. So let me go down again. Solomon, Rehoboam, and Abijam. So when we were looking on last week, we saw that there was conflict between Abijam from the south and Jeroboam from the north. And when we were looking, try to hang with me, when we were looking at the first few verses of 1 Kings, the 14th chapter, the Bible gave us just, let's say, the general understanding that Abijam was wicked. The Bible said he did not do like David. Didn't do like David. His heart was not perfect before God. I believe that's maybe the first or second verse of the 14th chapter. But I wanted to establish something on last week. I said, you know what? If we were to turn to 2 Chronicles and we were to look, I want to say, at that 13th chapter, and it gets confusing because one is 13, one is 14. Like tonight, one is 14, one is 15. But if we were to turn to 2 Chronicles, the 13th chapter, we see a point where at this conflict, or this battle between Abijam and Jeroboam, you'll see that Abijam sought the Lord. And I said, look at this. Before he totally went wicked, he sought the Lord. And so if we were just to kind of look at it again, now we don't have to, I'm not going to turn and read to it, but you could turn to it if you want to. Jeroboam had 800,000 men. And Jeroboam was getting upset because he's like, you know what? I don't like the fact that maybe some of my people are still interested in coming down to Judah, coming down to Jerusalem. I'm really paraphrasing. So you have to remember the various texts are the way we've tried to help us understand and see what's been going on. So Jeroboam has 800,000 men and Abijam has 400,000. And so Jeroboam's coming down and they're going to meet and they're going to fight. It looked as if the odds were totally stacked against the kingdom of Judah and Abijam. But Abijam stood on one of the mountains there, and he preached. It made me think of the guy in Judges. I don't remember his name, but I liked him. Josh or Jotham or something, I believe. Anyway, Abijam says to Jeroboam, he says, but I'm going to put it like this. You stupid if you think you're going to come after us, because we have not neglected God. We still follow God because God promised David that Judah would be blessed and that there would always be someone on his throne. Can I paraphrase it like that? Read the verses if you want to say, what did he say specifically as it's recounted to us? And so Jeroboam is like, we're going to fight anyway. So he splits his men up. He sends some from around the back way and some from the front. And he's going to try to encircle. Can I say it that way? Enclose Abijam and his men. Well, it ends with Abijam being victorious. And then we read something along the lines of, and not Jehoshaphat, I've been trying to read ahead. And Jeroboam, I think it says, and he slept with his father. That's sort of the recap of what we wanted to cover on last week. Now, there was more to it, so you'd have to go back and listen to it. But tonight, we're now going to see that Abijam, he dies. If we were to look at the seventh verse of the 14th chapter of 1 Kings, you're going to see something that Abijam slept with his fathers and so forth. I'm going to ask you to read it here in a second. But now I want to interject again my title, because my title is this: God is with you when you're with him. So you might grow tired of me saying, as we continue, as long as the Lord will allow us and gives us the mind to go through the kings, because we're going to see some wickedness. We're going to see a few that are good. But let us remember, and maybe the way to associate this is because Christ comes through Judah. So you got the kings of Judah. You'll have a few of those who I think we were reading, and it said eight of those who were really, let's say, who did well, who pleased the Lord, or who was after, let's say, the heart of David. Your kings up in the north, wicked, wicked, and wicked. So, Dree, what I'd like for you to do, because I said for tonight, I think I've been saying 1 Kings, the 14th chapter, but I wrote down the 15th. I think I'm wrong with what I wrote. I want us to look at, I think I'm right. Last week, I believe it was 1 Kings 15 instead of 14. I want you to pick up at the seventh verse and of chapter 15. Yeah, I think I've been saying 14. It's just been kind of confusing. But anyway, if anybody reads it, it won't hurt them. I know, like, what a way to recover or try to recover. 1 Kings 15, chapter 7th verse through the 15th verse, if you'll read that for me.
Now the rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead.
So before you continue to read, I just want to kind of recap, because we're going to be dealing with a lot of names. And I think one of the things that I've learned as I try to continue to teach, sometimes it's easier for the one who's teaching to remember the names. In my case, I'm probably going to forget or get confused along the way. But when the recipient or the one who's listening, sometimes it's like it seems to be harder, because you're listening and relying on, okay, now who are these names and what was the order? So I'm going to try from time to time, hopefully not to confuse you all, but to remind you what the order is. So again, we've got Solomon, who passed away. Rehoboam was his, can I say successor? He was his successor. And then Abijam was his successor. These last two verses, or three verses that Dree just read, Abijam has died. We want to remember the Bible said he was wicked. His son is Asa. Okay, we're still talking about the southern kingdom. Okay, so she reads through verse 15. We'll talk a little bit about that. Then we're going to move to 2 Chronicles 14th chapter, because sometimes one text will give us a little more information than another. And I want to try to keep it in the order that are what seems to be chronological, the way it happened. Okay, so Abijam has passed away, and Asa, his son, is now on the scene. So would you pick back up with that last verse and read on down to verse 15?
And Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. And Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. And 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Maachah, the daughter of Abishalom. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the Sodomites out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers had made, and also Maaca, his mother. Even her he removed from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. And he brought in the things which his father had dedicated, and the things which himself had dedicated, and into the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels.
Thank you. Now, Dries read from verse 7 through verse 15 of 1 Kings. So, as you would understand, I'm going to talk a little bit about these verses, but before I do, I want us to see something. If you were to continue reading, the 16th verse begins to speak about Baasha. Baasha will be the king who replaces Jeroboam. If you were to go to Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, and read two more chapters, in other words, what I want to say is Baasha's not mentioned immediately if you were to go to Chronicles. So I'm stopping at this 15th verse so we can pick up in Chronicles until we get to Baasha, and I think he's mentioned in the 16th chapter of 2 Chronicles. If you don't get all of what I just said, just try to follow me. Right now, we're going to talk about Asa. So I'm going back up just a few verses here. Asa's a good king, according to the scriptures, while Abijam, his father, was a wicked king. So let's go back up to about verse 9 here. And we're going to look at this right here. This is how it reads. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, that is the north, reigned Asa over Judah. So we're seeing that there's some overlap here with several kings that was living during the time of Jeroboam. What do you mean? Well, try not to get confused. Solomon was near his death during the time that Jeroboam started because Jeroboam fled to Egypt. Then when Rehoboam came on the scene, Jeroboam was still living. When Abijah was on the scene, he was still living. Now we have Asa on the scene. So we want to read this verse again. And in the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, reigned Asa over Judah. Now listen at this. And the 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maaca, the daughter of Absalom or Abishalom. Now we understood when I was trying to explain this, I kind of understood it. But when it says daughter, we're looking at granddaughter, it might have even been great granddaughter. But often with the Hebrew language, when you see daughter, it could be let's say several times removed, if you will, granddaughter, great granddaughter, or even daughter. So if you're interested in that, please go back and listen to this. Now, what we find here is that the scriptures, as we look again, as we go further down, it's going to refer to this woman as being queen, I'm trying to remember exactly how I read it, but we're going to just say that she was queen. What she had done was she had set up an idol in the groves, which was very problematic. If we can remember, one of the things that God told them before they got to the promised land, he said, first of all, you aren't to have any other gods before me. And we need to understand something, because on this past Saturday, we were looking at Psalms, I believe, 82, and we got to talking about other gods a little bit, just a little bit. For us today in this Western world, sometimes, or less Western part of the world, we don't think about other gods sometimes, but the scripture speaks of other gods. And so these other nations were influencing the people of God, yet he had warned them before he got there, don't do it. I alone am God. So when we were talking, for those of you who weren't with us on this past Saturday, we said God the Most High, God the God Almighty, the Most High God, the Supreme God of all any other God that exists. So we see that this Maaca, she had in the groves, She had an idol built, and as I was looking at it, it said that it was probably an Asherah pole. This Asherah pole, if you don't remember, was talking about, it was like a phallic symbol. A phallic symbol or a penis. Sometimes it was just, if you remember that, in Washington, D.C., there's this thing that looks like it's this tower that goes straight up, and it looks like it's a rectangular type tower, and it goes up and then it points. That is like a phallic symbol. And if you were to type Asherah pole or phallic symbol in the computer, you're going to get different versions of it. And that was believed to be celebrating Asherah and the fertility gods and goddesses and so forth. And it was thought that they could, if they were pleased or appeased by the worship, that they would help the crops grow, that they would help the animal have calves and lambs and so forth. Also, speaking of this Asherah pole, it was sort of a place of worship in which there were male prostitutes and they would have orgies and sex and so forth. Now, God had given his people, you go and look in Leviticus, I think Leviticus specifically, but there were many portions of scriptures, whether it's Deuteronomy, Exodus, or Numbers. I get them confused sometimes, so I say Leviticus. The man shall not lie with the man. A woman should not lie with the woman. In other words, don't have sex with them. That's not the way I made you. I physiologically made you a certain way so that you can bring forth fruit, so that you can bring forth seed as I have defined it. In my prayer, I'm talking about definitions a little bit. Don't lay with an animal. Don't lay with the beast. So let's go back to the point. The people of God had been influenced by other nations. Sad to say, hopefully you're still following me. Sad to say that it would be something that would plague the people of God, both the northern kingdom and some in the southern kingdom a lot. Now, I went back and I was reading. And I was trying to read back and I was trying to read ahead. And I even looked at Solomon. So I just want to say this for a minute. In 1 Kings, I think it's the third chapter, around the first and the second verse, before Solomon had really got to where he was going to build the temple of God. Remember, he was going to get to do what David wanted to do. It said that they basically worshiped in the high places because there was no temple. But the way it's written in the scriptures, I'm going to turn to it because I feel like it. my wife laughed at me. Let me turn to it. It says only he worshiped or something along those lines. Where are you? 1 Kings, third chapter and the second verse. So bear with me. This is when Solomon, and Solomon hadn't messed up right here, but just the way it was worded, I was like, oh, listen at it. And Solomon made affinity with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and took Pharaoh's daughter and brought her into the city of David until he had made an end of building his own house and the house of the Lord and the wall of Jerusalem round about. Only, like, but, it's like a but right here. The people sacrificed in high places. Because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord until those days. It's like what you're doing, it's like you're worshiping God there. And it's like a good thing. But God told you, he specified. I think I said Exodus 34, maybe around 13. When you get there, you tear down the high places. You tear down the poles. Don't mix it. Don't mix it. Oil and water does not mix. You can't do syncretism with me. Lord have mercy. So I'm going back to this text. This, which says mother, grandmother, if you will, she had taken it upon herself. Or she's queen. It looks like she's got a certain amount of authority, a certain amount of power, and that she influences the government, excluding God. Oh, my Lord. And she had an idol built in the groves, in the areas of the trees and so forth. So I'm picking back up. Where we are, I'm at the 10th verse. In 41 years, this is in the 15th chapter of 1 Kings. In 41 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, granddaughter, if you will. 11th verse. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as David his father did. 12th verse. And he took away the Sodomites, that is those who men with men. Okay, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers, it's a, Okay, now I'm reading in English. I didn't look behind the English, so someone could correct me if I'm wrong. But I know what the history is. There were several kings before him who had allowed this to happen. Think about Solomon, who had married many women. I think it's the 11th chapter of this very same book, and they turned his heart away from God. I think it's the 11th chapter where we read he married some of those women, and I think it's either 12 or 13 where it says as he grew older, they turned his heart away. I think it's maybe the 13th. Chapter. This king, Asa, he said, we're not having it. We got to get things back in the order of God. So God had made a promise. You say, well, where's the title come in? God is with you when you're with him. I went back and I was looking that God had told David in, I think, 2 Samuel 7th chapter. He says, you're not going to get to build my house, but if your son is with me, I'll be with him in so many words. He tells Solomon pretty much the same thing. Rehoboam was just wicked. And then he tells Jeroboam the same thing, the one who inherited the 10 tribes up north. If you're with me, I think it's the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, around the 37th through the 39th verse. If you do what I say, I will bless you. I will be with you. You need to cause the people to obey me. Don't turn. Don't do your own thing. And Jeroboam was wicked anyway. The scripture continues to show us that when you're faithful to God, he will be faithful to you. Doesn't mean you're not going to have enemies come up against you, but he will fight the battle. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Be faithful. God is with you when you're with him. So lest you forget, because of my still speaking, this Asa, he's trying to, what's the word? Some people say revival. He wants to restore that thing, that corrupt thing of worshiping these gods and the practice of men, lying with men, and this prostitution of men up around here, around this Asherah pole. Represent, I can't remember if it's Asherah specifically for the Syrians and so forth. We read about Asherah, Chemosh, and Moloch. We read about them. Either way, these were other gods, and God was very displeased. So in spite of the relationship that he had with this Maka, who was also serving, looks like his queen, he tears it down. Imagine what she thought. Imagine what she said. He said, we're going to please the Lord. We're going to please the Lord. So right here in the 13th verse, it says, and also Maka, his mother. Ooh, this is, Dre, you need to read 12 and 13 together in your Dre way.
And he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maka, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa destroyed her idol and burnt it by the brook Kidron.
He got rid of that thing and he destroyed it. Now, I think there's a little bit of confusion in some cases if you've read ahead in Chronicles and so forth. But let me just say a little bit. I cannot tell you the extent to which she executed her power and or authority. It might have been a little something going on with her in the time that Abijam was getting nearing death. This is my, can I say surmising? I'm surmising that something like that has happened. But Asa, I believe, while his father was nearing his death or something, there was something in Asa that wanted to be faithful to the Lord. I can't tell which was it. Was it the great, great, great grandfather David? What was it? But when God's word is in the land, even when it looks like so many people are wicked, God can have a remnant. God can have a remnant. These people were supposed to be close and united to God. These people, these Hebrews, were supposed to be an influence and the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth in the world, in the land. That's what they were supposed to be. They were supposed to be wisdom to the people. And this king right here says, like, you know what? We're going to get some things right here. Imagine our country today, which just seems to be so backwards, where people are calling hot, cold, and cold, hot, and good, evil, and evil, good. Lord have mercy. If we could stand up and reverse that thing. Well, we need to start with ourselves, by the Holy Spirit, in our homes, and in our jobs, and be faithful. And it's not going to be easy. Trust me, it is not going to be easy to speak for the Lord. Let's get back to this text. So in spite of the relationship, he destroyed this idol and so forth. But when I was looking at this, because I was reading in the Chronicles, when you look at this verse right here, it says he destroyed, I believe, or took away the high places. So I know I keep going back to this, but when I look down, sometimes I forget exactly where it is. So listen to this. And took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And also Maacah, his mother, even her, he removed from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. And Asa destroyed the idol and burned. Well, it doesn't say it right here. It's the next verse, 14th verse. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days. So I kind of got it backwards just because I'm thinking about the text that we're about to go to here. And this is where the conflict comes in. So let me rephrase it again or restate it. Here in the Kings, we see that the high places were not removed. When we turn to Chronicles and we look at Second Chronicles, that is, if we look at the 15th chapter, I mean the 14th chapter, and even the 15th chapter, let's say a couple of the chapters at least, you're going to see where it says that the high places were removed. And so for a second, I want to see if I could just turn there for a second. And if I don't see where I marked it, we'll get there in just a second. I'm thinking it is the 16th verse. So I'm just going to turn to the 16th verse of the 15th chapter, Second Chronicles. Listen to how it reads. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in the grove. Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it in the kingdom. Okay, right here it says the high places were not removed, but I have written down another place and I want to endeavor to find it unless it takes me too entirely long. In some parts, you're going to see where it says that they were removed. Let's, Dre, will you turn to First Chronicles? I think it might be 14 and 3. Second Chronicles, yes. 14 and 3. Maybe it's there. Start at verse 1. She wants to start at verse 1. So pardon me if I've confused you, but I just want to bring this out because sometimes people will say, well, it says right here that the high places weren't removed. And then it says right here that the high places were removed. So I want to try to deal with it. This is Second Chronicles 14. You say you're going to start with the first verse and read through the third. Okay. She's at 14.
So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa his son reigned in his stead. In his days the land was quiet 10 years. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places, and broke down the images, and cut down the groves.
Okay, thank you. So finally, I saw my notation. Right here in the 14th chapter of Second Chronicles, it says he took away the high places, which seems to contradict what we read in 1 Kings 15 chapter and what I read in 2 Chronicles 15 chapter. So I was like, okay, I want some understanding. So I kept looking and tried to find it. And the explanation that I read, I think it's very plausible. So I'll share it with you. As it looks, maybe that Asa was successful in ridding the high places. As time went on, it was like maybe some of the people didn't totally follow the command that God had given to them, and would begin to like resurrect or build high places. Sometimes maybe a little far away. If you know anything about the land of Palestine, it is hilly, it's got valleys, it's got high places or mountains and so forth. So it is possible that some people would do that anyway. But what we see when we go back and we look at the scripture in First King and even in the Chronicles, we're going to see that Asa's heart was really inclined to do the things of God, to satisfy, to please God Almighty. What was his will? It likens him or compares him to David, where we've seen that some of these other kings, Jeroboam, Abijam, they were not like David. Their heart was not complete. It was not satisfied in God. They desired to do their own will. Even Ecclesiastes would tell us that Solomon, he purposed within himself, or he mused with his own heart to do something. So I want to go back and finish with this last verse that I want to look at in 1 Kings, and then we'll turn, as I've said that we would, to the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles and look at about another 7 verses here. Okay, so I'm going back to 1 Kings 15, and I'm going to read 14 and 15. But the high places were not removed. Nevertheless, Asa's heart was perfect with the Lord all his days, and he brought in the things which his father had dedicated and the things which himself had dedicated unto the house of the Lord, silver and gold and vessels. Now, if you remember, I know this is a lot, but is it worth it? It's worth it, right? That 16th verse goes to Baasha the king. Now, there's a king before Baasha from the north after Jeroboam. It's Nadab. And so, again, if you were to go and read the 15th chapter of 2 Chronicles and the 16th chapter, then pick back up with that 16th verse, I think we will get some filler with history. So now we're going to turn to, and I thank you for your patience, we're going to turn to 2 Chronicles. This 15th chapter, and we're going to start with this first verse. But before we do that, I do want to mention something that Dree read from 2 Chronicles 14, because I think Tim uses the word to truncate or to bring it, put it together. I'm trying to put this together. The 14th chapter of 2 Chronicles said that for the first 10 years of Asa's life, there was peace. Within these first 10 years, actually, I think I want to look at the 14th chapter, verses 7 through 15. See, I guess my problem is that I was reading many, many verses and making notes, so my mind is on that 15th chapter. We're going to go to the 14th chapter, verses 7 through 15. I got to fix it, because if I'm the one who's causing the confusion, I don't like it. So we were in 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, and I got it written correctly. We were in 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, 7 through 15. Now we're going to 2 Chronicles 14, 7 through 15. So what's prior to this is that we see that there were 10 years of Asa's life where there was peace. There was no wars, if you will. And he would build up the kingdom of God. He would fortify the army so that in the time when others would attack, so forth, he would be prepared. And he was a man that was wanting to please the Lord. So, Dree, what I'd like you to do is actually just go ahead and read let's go ahead and read verses 4 on down a little bit. Let's go ahead and do that.
And commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers.
That's Asa had commanded Judah. Continue.
And to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images. And the kingdom was quiet before him. And he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years, because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities, and make about them walls, and towers, gates, and bars, while the land is yet before us. Because we have sought the Lord our God, we have sought him, and he has given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears, out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor.
Let's stop right there for a second. So I'm wrong in saying that it would be 7 or so verses, but there are a few things here that I think are pertinent to know. In this time of peace, he's not being still. Being still, or in the sense, I think the word is lackadaisical, in that he's not just saying, okay, I don't have to do anything. He's not resting on the fact that God has blessed me and now I'm the king. I'm just going to do things my own way. What's your point, Gary? When I read this, one of the verses that comes to my mind is keep thy heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. Now, how in the world did you get that, Gary? That's Proverbs, I think, 4:23. Here's this man who wants to please God. Here's this man who says, I'm going to be a righteous king. Here's this man who's seeking God. Did you read what it said? He told them what we're going to do. I'm the one that's running the government on behalf of God. It says in this fourth verse, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord. Like, you know what? This is the way it's going to be. And he said, we're going to build a fence around Jerusalem, because there are going to be times when the enemy wants to come against us. What's the application that I think that one that's obvious? When God has blessed us and it seems like things are going fine, we still need to be in his word. We still need to have his word on our lips. We still need to have his word in our heart. We still need to be trusting him, because Satan does not rest. Kept reading about Egypt coming up to attack, and I saw it under this king, and I saw it under that king. Egypt's coming to attack. Eventually, Syria's going to come to attack. Eventually, Assyria's going to come to attack. These people going to come to attack. But if you're not fortified in the word and in the power and in the spirit of God, you'll be defeated. And even if he lets them have what looks like they're going to be victorious, they're not victorious when you continue to trust in God. This man is preparing his heart and his people in the Lord, and he's not just sitting there. I like the way it reads just a little bit in the seventh verse. It says, we have sought him and he has given us rest on every side. We have sought him. Now, I thought about Solomon. Solomon had such a wisdom that the people were afraid of him. Solomon, I asked you the question, what happened? Saints, what's going to happen to us if we just rest? If we don't fortify ourselves, if we don't live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. James says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. He says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Do you have on the armor of God? How are you going to resist if you don't have on the armor of God? The helmet, the shield, your feet shod with the preparation of righteousness. We got to have on the word of God. We got to be prepared. And sometimes it's going to seem like we're being ambushed from the front and from the back. Doesn't it seem like it? But don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trials which are to try you. And they come like darts, because you got the shield of faith. Helmet of salvation. War is not comfortable, but it's a war. War. So you say, what about that? Guard your heart with all diligence. Well, I liken to myself, and so you might not like this. It's like the heart. Out of it are the issues of life. And it's, to me, it's like it's that walled city of Jerusalem where God is supposed to dwell in the temple. And our heart is supposed to be where God dwells. And how do we take care of it? Is it fortified? Are we built up? Are we rooted? I think Colossians 3:1 says something. Dree, can you go turn to Colossians 3:1? I just, something about being rooted and grounded in him. It might say something about not doing, I think it'll go into like what you should not do, but I just, maybe that first or second verse somewhere in Colossians 3. And this is talking about Christ, but I'm talking about our hearts. I'm talking about not being still. I'm talking about not being lazy. I'm talking about being ready to do warfare if we have to. What does it say? I don't remember. I just know it's somewhere in there.
If you then be risen with Christ,
I'm going to put as a soldier. What does it say?
Seek those things that are from above.
What's God's will? Read it, please.
Where Christ sits on the right hand of God.
Giving his authority, giving his command. What?
Set your affections
on the holy, righteous commandments, things that will please God. What does it say?
Not on things on the earth.
What?
Not on things on the earth.
Read.
For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God.
Does it say anything about being rooted and grounded somewhere in there?
She said no. I think it's in Colossians. But anyway, the verses that we read, they're good. It might be six. Is it six? Mm-mm. No. Well, anyway, we're gonna move on because time is ticking. So we're gonna go back. What again is happening here? This Abijam, he's preparing the city. And what I'm saying is we need to be diligent in God and keep our hearts ready for things that can happen to us. You read about the shields and the bows and so forth. We liken that to warfare, and the tribes that were very near here in Benjamin. I'm talking about near the tribe of Judah and so forth. And we read about that. But I want to go, and Drew, I'm going to ask you to read verses, and I may just stop here. Let me see what time it is. It's nearing the time frame where I generally like to stop. You to pick up at verse 9. So during this 10 years, there was no, she said it's being rooted and grounded. Ephesians?
Colossians 2 and 7.
Thank you for looking it up. I was a chapter off and a few verses off. What does it say right there in Colossians 2 and 7? Yeah, great. Okay.
As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord,
mm-hmm.
so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught.
I like that, rooted, anchored, rooted, not easily swayed by the wind, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. When we're like that, yes, the wind will blow, but we have an anchor in the Lord. So we want to be prepared for when the trials of life come, we can do that. When the enemy wants to test us. And I believe if we could look at what these few verses were about, what Asa was doing with the city and so forth, I believe it was pleasing to the Lord. We see where he tore removed the high places, and at least for a while, and things like that, set his grandmother down. I believe the Lord was pleased. Then we're going to go to this ninth verse, and we're going to see where the time of peace, it changed a little bit. It's going to have some problems with the Ethiopians here, and that's going to come back up when we, Lord willing, get to Chronicles, because we'll be looking in Chronicles still when there's going to be a prophet that comes to this king later on, and he's going to have to tell him some things. So when we look at the Egyptians, they haven't been quiet. They haven't been quiet. Solomon married an Egyptian woman and made affinity with her father. Later on, we see that Rehoboam, who wanted to fight against Jeroboam, and Shemaiah came to him and said, no, but God used Shishak, who was from Egypt, to deal with Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, he chilled for a little bit. God said, I'm using him to judge you. You're going to see what it's like to be my servant. So when we see this Egyptians come, that's why he needed to be fortified. Egypt represents bondage. Egypt represents sin. Now let's just lay our weapons down so that sin can overtake us. No, go back to this ninth verse. There's about to be some conflict here. And there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with the host of 1,300 chariots, and came to Maresa. You want to pick it up, Dree? Then Asa went out against him.
Mm-hmm. And they set the battle in array against in the valley of Zephathah. At Marisha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said,
what did he do, and to whom did he cry?
Asa cried unto the Lord his God.
This has been a faithful king who knows who his protector is, who knows who his savior is. And in the time when it looks rough, he calls on God Almighty. Read it, Dree.
And said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let not man prevail against
thee. Isn't that sweet? God, you can do it. Whether we have power or not, even if we have power, God, we rest in
thee. Are you hid in Christ? Are you here? Jesus talked about how he had prayed for the ones that would come after him, that they would be in him as he is in the Father, that they could we could be one. Now, Gary, you're talking about this. What about tomorrow? Or tomorrow's tomorrow? Tomorrow's tomorrow's tomorrow. Who are you going to trust in? So there used to be this show come on, and this guy said, who you with? Anyway, yeah, so Asa went out there, and he was trusting in the Lord. This is a prayer. He right here, we see Asa's just doing so beautifully well, trusting in the Lord. So this 12th verse. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's not. It looks like the Lord wanted the people to see what he could do for them. Just a few more verses here. I think three more verses. I'm at verse 13. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar. Now, Gerar, when I was looking, it said it used to be one of the Philistine cities. So it's kind of central south going toward the west coast. You got Gaza, and it's underneath Hebron. And so if you're like me, you might have to refresh yourself with the map. Let's just say it's going south and a little westward, so it looks like it's central Palestine. So now you got Judah chasing after these people who are going to be so much. Isn't it wonderful when the Lord will fight the battle and he gets the credit, but the people see that when they were after you, that they can't do that. They can't do that to your God. They can't do that to you. I'm trying to remember these things, y'all. 13th verse. And Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, however you say it. And the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host. Which host is this? There's a heavenly host. I think it's 2 Kings, maybe 5, 6, or 7, where there's a heavenly host. Yeah, it is. And it says, and they carried away very much spoil. So they came to spoil the people of God, but the people of God spoiled them. 14th verse, and they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. The fear of the Lord. Well, the fear of the Lord should start with us. We trust him and obey him, so that the fear of the Lord can now be seen in the people who wants to come against his people. Listen at the 15th verse, and this is where we're stopping. They smote, that is the people of God, also the tents of cattle, and carried away sheep and camels in abundance, and returned to Jerusalem. They got the booty. This is supposed to be what's going to happen in the world. That's okay. The things that were left, my wife is cracking up. Go ahead and crack up, Dre. The sheep being victorious, you know, this world want to overtake us, but this is God. This is God's world. Doesn't look like it now, but this is God's world. He's coming back. He's going to claim his own. Yeah, he is. He is. He is. He is. When you with the Lord, he is with you. Like the way I said it, when you with the Lord, when you, God is with you when you're with him. I changed it around, but it means the same thing. Now, before I had written down these verses, but I just want to reiterate it, because God told David, I'll be with you. He even told Saul the same thing. And we read that the Spirit of God left Saul. Told Solomon the same thing. And I said, Rehoboam was just bad. Rehoboam just wicked. And he told Jeroboam the same thing. Well, look at Asa. Thank God for some righteous men. Thank God. Well, Lord, we thank you for giving us an opportunity to go through your scripture and to remind us how we should be faithful to you. I ask that you help us to understand that this is not just a requirement, that in the sense that it's perfunctory. Okay, I did my job, but that we will meditate on your word and even do like Mary and ponder these things in our heart and be like Hannah to want to do for you. And Lord, when we're weak, help us to be strong. Help us to yield to the Holy Spirit. And when we don't understand, I ask that you thank you for your patience and your mercy. You could have taken our lives years ago. We need you, Lord. We need you. Thank you for seeking truth. And I ask that you help us to continue to grow. And I ask these things in your son, Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to stop right there and open it up for discussion. And I'm sorry again, because I kept calling wrong chapters, and I declared that I didn't want to be confusing tonight, but I was successful, I think, at being confusing. So, any thoughts, insights, questions? If there are questions, I would try to answer them if I can. If I can't, then it might have to be tabled unless someone else knows the answer. Until another time. Discussion time is now.
I don't have anything to add, but I did enjoy the lesson very much.
Thank you. Is there anybody here who wants to speak up? Anybody here who speak right now? I want to know if you speak up. Anyone? You might be like, what chapter were we in?
You know, one thing I did notice when you had gone back to 1 Kings in the 3rd chapter, and you were talking about Solomon.
Right.
He talked about
him
prior to him, I guess, totally getting over to wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
How he had removed, he didn't remove the high places. You know, talk about what he did.
They wanted to worship God, but there was no temple.
Right.
Because he wanted to build it. And so, I mean, it doesn't really, when you read that text, there's a tone that seems like, okay, you know, this is what you did and this is why you did it.
Right.
And so, but I think I've read it in another version before, but I don't remember. But in the King James, I think it's the second verse, it says only they worship, or only he worshiped.
Right.
And it was like, this is where you did it.
Only the people sacrificed in high places.
Right.
Because there was no house built unto the name of the Lord.
Right.
And until those days.
Mm-hmm.
But then in verse 3, it says only he sacrificed. So the different, you know, when I saw that, because in verse 14 or chapter 14, when it's talking about Asa, it talks about the righteousness that he did. Hold on, let me turn to it. In chapter 15 of 1 Kings,
mm-hmm.
when it talks about Asa, in the 11th verse it says, and Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord.
Are you in 1 Kings?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm in the wrong book.
Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. He took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. And actually, that got me too,
mm-hmm.
because it talks about idols that were made. So
right.
You think about it, but at this point, it only talks about Rehoboam.
When
he made the two golden calves. So
that's Jeroboam.
That's Jeroboam.
Right.
Okay. But Jeroboam is not a descendant from the line of David. But that's
right.
That's what I was thinking about. Talking about the idols that his fathers had made. So that could be Solomon's idols that Solomon had made or allowed to be brought in.
I agree that I think when you look at, because you don't see Saul, mm-hmm. at least I don't recall Saul mm-hmm. having an idol.
Mm-hmm.
He put himself before God.
Right.
You don't see, let me try to get it right. David didn't do it. You don't mm-hmm. see David doing it. Mm-hmm. Solomon is the one when he, because he talks about the Egyptian woman, and then there's this list for a little while, I think in the 11th chapter, and so forth. And he builds these worship places, worship centers, and are idols for them. So, right. And so I can only agree with your statement that he for Judah, he sets this precedent.
Right. And that's what I was thinking, because, you know, the phrasing is similar, only or but okay. or except.
Mm-hmm.
But the difference between Asa and Solomon is that Solomon actually did idol worship.
Mm-hmm.
Asa did not.
Right.
And so, being the king, he led by example.
Yeah, and we're going to get to something that Asa does, but he's still likened as one of the good kings.
Yeah.
But we will see something that basically is foolish that he's going to do.
Yeah,
but it's
not idol worship.
No, it's not idol worship. But he's not going to rely on the Lord. Mm-hmm. And notice I was mentioning nations tonight, and Syria was one of them. And so we'll see. I believe I don't remember exactly where it is in Kings. It's probably after this. But when I went to Chronicles, I was like, okay. So I just read on in Chronicles. But Lord willing, we'll get there.
But you know, just thinking about that and just kind of talking it out, really, it seems that the most egregious thing that these kings did was cause the people to sin. Because when you think about Solomon, you know, even though he had all of these wives, he didn't have to adopt their idol worship.
So
he not only adopted it, he practiced it and introduced it to the people.
So I think you basically qualified it, which I think is necessary to state. Because you can cause the people to sin, but when you mean that, you mean to worship other gods. Because the idol would be, and I mean, I'm not saying that you don't know that, but for the sake of, I guess, the recording, the idol is in, it's like an image, whether it's stone, wood, or what have you. Mm-hmm. And what I, based on some things that I've read,
to put other gods before
the Lord. Well, the idol itself is not the God, what the stone, it's dedicated. Mm-hmm. And right. And so some of the practices, cause I certainly don't know for all of the, whatever, Mesopotamia, East, Middle East, whatever, the way that, but one of the main things is that they would like invite the god or gods into that to like inhabit it, if you will. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things that I've seen. And so it's really interesting, because if you notice, when God says destroy it or crush it, they would just build another one. So you see that the God is not destroyed. The gods are going to be destroyed when Jesus really destroys them. But we're supposed to be, we destroy that relic. Like we say, Paul said, casting down the imaginations and so forth. And he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against rulers and wickedness and high places and so forth. So just because you destroy the stone, the wood that carved out, whatever, you didn't really destroy this, but you're getting rid of that center or worship place, if you will, and it's like eradicating it. So when the wisdom of God, because of faithfulness of us or the people at that time, then they can learn what's right. Does that make, am I making sense? So
yeah, I guess I said all of that to say that in contrasting those two kings, the thing that I noticed, or the difference that I noticed about them, is that, you know, even though up to a point Solomon exhibited some righteous tendencies, ultimately he caused the people to sin by introducing idol worship and engaging in idol worship, because since he was the king, he was supposed to be leading the people by example.
Exactly.
But Asa tore down the idols, you know, and even though he didn't remove the high places, he still went about the business of removing idols from the land. And, you know, ultimately, I mean, it's like, okay, his grandma, you know, it's like, he's like, I don't care if you are my grandmama. I'm going to tear down and stomp down and burn your idol.
So, what you said, because I want to reiterate, because I think it's plausible.
And
you
removed her from her position as queen.
Right. And you can tell me if you think this is plausible or not. So, I don't know if I was clear. You say, you tell me you see it or you don't see it, or you don't know. In 1 Kings, the 15th chapter, mm-hmm. we read that the high places were not removed.
Right.
In 2 Chronicles, the 14th chapter, mm-hmm. we see, if I'm getting this correct, that they were removed. Mm-hmm. In 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, which is, that might be why I kept thinking tonight, 15, you see that they were not removed. So you got two passages that we looked at tonight to say they weren't. One that says they were. Mm-hmm. So what I was saying is that it is possible that he had torn them down, but some people had built some more, in other words. Mm-hmm. And so it was like maybe a temporary thing, because this used to get me. I remember one or two times I was like, okay, so what is it? You know, he tore him down, he didn't tear him down. And so I said, okay, I'm going to try to speak on this tonight. So I was just really trying to find somebody or some source that was speaking on it. And I said, okay, I can kind of see that, because what we don't necessarily see, I think we saw in the 20th year of Jeroboam, and I did read something about 17 years and 18 years, and I knew that, okay, if I start trying to talk about that, I'm probably going to confuse myself. But the way the years are, longevity of reigning, mm-hmm. it varies. And I think one of the things that I've read and even listened to, that the kings is very, it's specific with the system, because it's on different systems. Mm-hmm. So for instance, let's say a king comes in at the 6th month of a year. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that they won't really count that. It'll go ahead and go into the next year and count that year as the first year. Mm-hmm. Some will do something a little different. So I said, you know what? I'm not going to really tackle that tonight, because that's not going to be my emphasis. But there is some different things based on the system about how that is read. So back to what I wanted to ask you, with the high places being torn down, not torn down, being torn down. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a plausible explanation? It doesn't mean it's right, but do you think that's a plausible explanation?
I do think it's a plausible explanation, but it's confusing to me too.
Yeah,
you know, because it's like it's vacillate. So
the people always vacillated. Yeah. They did. I mean, think about it. Go ahead.
So, I guess the thing is, all right, in chapter 14 of 2 Chronicles, mm-hmm. it actually specifically says where he removed the high places. It said he removed the high places out of Judah.
Mm-hmm. But see, okay, so when you think Judah, you want to still think the South.
Mm-hmm.
So, as opposed to, I think, is that Tim?
All right, Israel.
I think, can you say that again?
She said everywhere.
Yeah. So, like when you think Judah, the, mm-hmm. I'm thinking like the Southern Kingdom.
The Southernmost Kingdom.
Yeah, Southern Kingdom, which is going to encompass lots of cities and so forth. Mm-hmm. So.
But I like the sodomite part. That's the sodomite. You see, I'm gonna just say, you just see how sexy people are. They all these people. They were progressive.
No.
They were open. They were open. They weren't judgmental.
I thought you said fallopian. I was like, what?
They weren't judgmental. They were spiritual, very spiritual. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see much difference now.
Yep.
They're very spiritual. Mm-hmm. They got feelings. They love worship. They love praise. Jerusalem just wasn't enough. The temple wasn't enough. We don't have some extra high places. We one wife or one husband, wasn't enough. We got new ways of sex, and you know, we're inclusive. You know, and It's the same thing, and people probably hated him for removing the sodomite. Do you understand how much pleasure was just eradicated? And then, you know, it's like you judging them wrong. We know the Lord like you do. And then you move to high places. You know that, you know, the high places you probably could get high too. I mean, it was just. So, you know, it's just one of those kind of things that when leaders in a position to judge, they're supposed to be judging for the Lord. The judgment's supposed to be the Lord. And when they don't, you see all this spirituality take place. This lustfulness.
Spit my water out.
That's good. That's good. Sometimes you have to spew stuff out of your mouth. And
that's so funny.
I bet they had strong music. Mm-hmm. I bet they were probably not just needing.
I ain't saying bumping. I think she mean bumping and grinding, Drew.
See, I didn't even say that, Gary.
And I bet they were twirling their hands. I bet they were twirling their hands in the air, spinning around.
And the men,
you know, the men were nasty. We're doing it in the name of God. There's nothing else for me to say except holiness becometh God's house forever.
Mm-hmm.
Holiness, not that kind of holiness. That was holiness too. Those sodomites were holy. But the holiness that God talks about, it becomes his house. It separates between the wheat and the chaff and the spiritual and the feelers. Those people were spiritual. They had all those high places. Solomon had done all that worship, and they loved worship. They probably cried. They did that. Mm. And they probably said the spirit was high today. I remember one time somebody in my family said, you know, the spirit was high today. Like, really? You know how I ask questions, but I thank God for letting us know way back then the sodomites and what they bring to the table should not even be allowed. Mm-hmm. I don't care if they do make you all sing, but you know, sodomites, they have a lot of feelings.
A lot of singing.
Solomon might have introduced some of those sodomitish people.
That type of worship.
Of course, you brought in other kind of worship, and maybe that's where the high places come from. I hadn't researched it yet, but he didn't do anything to diminish all in it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
I had a couple of thoughts. I was thinking about that where in the two chapters it's different about the high places being taken down and the other says that they weren't.
Mm-hmm.
And I like what Dree was saying about in Judah and that being given in locality.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking too in terms of it being two different authors and being two different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
And so as far as the writer is concerned in the Kings, he may have been there, he may have seen certain things and have seen that, you know, depending on where you are in the nation, and sometimes there are some secret things that people in the dark that you don't get to see. We see that in Ezekiel, where say they had a hole in a wall and they had every kind of abominable thing.
That's true.
So you can have some secret places where other people may know it's there, and they might not even tell you it's there.
Mm-hmm.
But you've done what was in your purview, or what you could see, or what you knew to do, you know, in your area, like we said in Judah. So that was one way I thought about it. And it's in the different authors being a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it being a divided kingdom, you can have that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the way I went on that. The other thing was, when you were preaching, I was thinking about these are all family members. And I don't mean like way, way down the line. Y'all know y'all family.
Yeah.
And so then you read that in, I like that when you read in Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
You read that, you know, because it gave a lot more detail, you know, to it. So, but where it talks about what he did with, and you kept saying his grandmother. That was his grandmother and not his mother?
Yeah.
Okay. So the way he talked about it, and I kept thinking about when they take the oath, a pledge to, you know, like we had this guy, this Kavanaugh guy was confirmed and to the Supreme Court and all this stuff. They have to take this oath,
right,
to defend the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking about that because you have, on the domestic level, you have not only your brothers are split, your brothers of Israel are not there. So mm-hmm. you got that division and you got that constant fight and that constant battle. Then you have, even closer to home, you have a grandmother. And not only that, you had a father who was an idolater. So you have all these enemies within the gates. And so when you show what he built, you say, let's build a wall around.
Mm-hmm.
Get to see, it's like, okay, in order that I can't worry about that, it's some things on the inside I need to worry about. So let's take care of the outside by building a wall. And yeah. That'll give us time. But there are some things on the inside that need to be dealt with. And so just seeing that, you know, that he came from an idolatrous background. He had a father. And it's like, how did he emerge being different than that? You know, what type of influence did he have that he went a different way?
Yeah.
And he was serious about it, you know. And so, let me see what else I wrote down here. I thought about Matthew 10,
mm-hmm.
when Jesus talked about, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword. And, you know, a man's enemies will be those of his own household.
Mm.
And you get to see that if these things are taking place in the land and the duty. I mean, when you're in the kingdom, it looks like he took responsibility for being in the kingdom and saying, yes, this is not just a religious thing and you can worship if you want to or not, you know.
Right.
This is a kingdom, and the kingdom has rules. They have laws, you know.
Yeah, because I think it's next week when they say anybody that will not, I think, worship, or I forgot how it reads, but I think it's worship or, you know, God, they're going to kill them. in the Chronicles. It's in the Chronicles.
Okay. But you get, and it's just, that's is when you treat God like a religion, and mm-hmm. you can serve him or not, you know, you can do something else and do him. And it's not about your life, because you feel like your life is separate than your worship, you know,
yeah.
You got a separate thing going on that. In the church I worship, in the world I live, you know. But God has made that distinction with his nation.
Yeah.
Right.
You are this. It's not you practice this part-time and then you get to do what you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is you. You know, this is your morality. This is life. And so, it's, you know, it seems like Asa saw that way. That this is life. Took his position seriously. and he went throughout the land doing justice, doing judgment. That was his job, because that's, you don't have a job outside of that. You know, right. That's what you do as the king. That's what's written as the king. You know, this is what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And many times we don't look at, you know, the word of God that way, like, okay, this is your prescription for life, whatever you do. It's no separate. It's not separate. And so, because it is life, it's life. Yeah.
That's good. That is good. And you protect the inheritance, both the land and the people.
Protect the inheritance. Yes. So, and you know the enemies. You know that's just your protection.
Right.
You're protected against anybody that's against righteousness. Anybody that's against justice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like sometimes and I was noticing that the Ethiopians came with Shishak, didn't they?
They did. They came up against Rehoboam when he was acting all haughty and stuff. And then he and the people decided, okay, we're gonna humble ourselves. And God said, okay, I'm not gonna let them totally, you know, wipe you out, but you're gonna understand what it is to be my servants.
Right. But so, you know that you see the difference in those two kings. You see Rehoboam, you know, and he was dirty. So just you filthy. Know, we know that God is gonna bring armies against those who oppose themselves and who oppose him. You make yourself my enemy, then I'm gonna let the enemies come in on you. So he had quite a few to come in on him, but they came. So, and then you see Asa, and Asa is doing all the right things, right?
Right.
How so? And then here come the Ethiopians. It's supposed to be that nothing bad is supposed to come his way. He should never have to see war or famine or anything.
Somebody probably spoke the wrong words, and
you might not have enough faith, Gary.
You know, I was looking and I thought it was sad because I was trying to find, you know, God says, I'll be with you. And that, you know, it's like a reiteration of the covenant kind of. And I couldn't find it with, Rehoboam. So I went back and I was looking at Solomon. And it's like God said, because of what you did, I'm because of David, I'm not going to do it in your lifetime, but your son. And I was just like, if I don't see in the scriptures, unless I mean I don't get to see everything, I'm like, I might have missed the passage, but I did not see where God told him the same thing.
You mean Rehoboam?
I didn't see where God told Rehoboam that, because Rehoboam starts out trying to kill Jeroboam, you know, and I'm like, wow, it's just like, you know, Solomon, you didn't help him, you know. So,
you know, the more I hear this, I was telling Tim, I say, you know, they probably had to be black. I mean, who family fight like that to black people?
Oh man.
You know how y'all gonna have crimson blood and y'all fighting each other. Why? That is just stupid. But it's like, of course, you know, but I mean, just the difference in those two kings, and yet, you know, the rain came, and the storm came, and the wind came upon each of those houses the same.
Yeah.
You know, so that was interesting to me, that he was doing all the right things, and he still had an adversary.
Yeah.
The other one that was doing all the wrong things, but he had adversaries. It was like, it's like, but God can try us in every way.
That's true.
He deserves to try us. He has to prove whether or not we will love him.
That's true.
Be proven. He has to test us.
And like the child is not, some children, they turn 18. And they think they grown, ain't done nothing, ain't been proven at all, but they grown. Uh-huh. because they got a mind and can so-called think be thinking the wrong thing. I'm like, you ain't grown. Be quiet.
No, it's sad because, you know, media has made them believe that they are, that it's
true,
that they really are higher and above, and it's really to be above people who believe in God.
I'm gonna tell you some
stable people.
Yeah. I'm gonna tell you some buzzwords. Critical thinking.
Yeah.
And that's one of the scholastic buzzwords. And that's it sounds right, it sounds good, but what happens is a lot of these young minds, and I'm just gonna say young, in some cases they're young by reason of age, and sometimes they're young because they're immature and are not mature mentally or what have you. They don't understand that they're being told what to think at the same time they've been told how to think critically. But those are a couple of buzzwords for you. Critical thinking.
Yeah. Because they have actually destroyed that.
Yep.
And anybody that, you know, they trying to destroy it.
Yep.
Period. We do not really want you to think.
It is true.
Why do you think we have so many football teams and basketball teams, and one season go out and another season come in, football goes out, baseball come in, it goes on and on. Basketball is next. It's always a constant distraction. We got a new movie. We have something else.
Yeah.
Anything to keep you from kingdom business.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's what that crying man was saying.
And it's a constant drag. It's always something to distract you.
Yeah.
To get your attention, to take your mind off of kingdom business, or to preoccupy you with worries and cares of this life.
Oh, Lord.
It's all to keep you away from kingdom business. Because most of them know that you would serve God harder if you didn't have to worry about getting up, going to work, worrying about this person. It's so many things involved in life, and then there's other things. So they create an appetite in you to want more and more, more and more involved in the world, to take you further and further away from kingdom business.
Mm-hmm.
Every step you take away from kingdom business, you're giving it to the world.
And it's so interesting because when you look back, you know, you had the land, you worked the land, and you let's say you do your simple business or your transaction, but you work the land.
Yes.
You live off the land. God provides you, live off the land. You teach your children what I tell you to do or what tell it. And then like you live off. And it's so, but it's like, then it, yes. You see, when the Lord starts talking about these weights and balances and not getting over on your brother, but when you start not loving your brother, there's various ways you can get in cahoots with your brother, and then you can begin to charge. Let's say what do you call it? I forgot how the Bible calls it. Not filthy lucre, but
usury.
Yeah, and then it's like okay, and then it's so sad, and then you start working with these other nations, and you're getting over on your people, and then you make it like when I'm looking at Ace, I'm like he finna get ready to try to make. What's the dude's name? Ben-Hadad? So I get them Hadads mixed up. He could, the dude from up north cause of you know what I'm talking about. He's gonna try to go in and make confederate with the dude from the other nation because of not Nadab, the next one. Basha.
Basha,
so,
yeah.
So
I see a lot of things that is like a lot of things that I never like did a transpose, and I know that's a musical term, but like a transpose what we're reading about and the structure and the culture and understand how nations reacted to other nations and how they interacted,
mm-hmm.
and how they used each other, and how some of that they had worse than it.
Yeah.
As nations and be confederations, let's remove kings from places where they may have resources that they want. It's here.
Yes.
But somehow we have detached it from what we see in the world today. They're still doing this stuff.
Still doing it. Still doing it. And it's kind of it's stupid to me, because like we're using you and we're smiling in your face, but after a while we're gonna do something to you or against you.
Well, that's backstabbers.
Yeah.
I'm gonna hear, what they do.
Yeah. There is no rest for the wicked, because they sit on their bed all night long.
Ain't that
plan.
Amos?
They
Are you coming out of Amos?
Where is that? They say, I think that's in the
song. Oh. For some reason,
I think it's in Isaiah, but and you're probably right. Too. There's no rest. I know it's one that said the wicked are like the trouble city, cast up dirt and
mire
and dirt. That's Isaiah.
That's it, Tim.
The wicked are like the trouble city, cast up dirt and mire. There is
no mire. It's mire and dirt, right?
I think you say it backwards on how I want to remember it. Because I want to say dirt and mire, but it's mire and dirt. There is what verse is that? I don't like when I forget a verse. It bothers me to no end.
It's 57:20.
Okay. Gary, don't forget that verse, okay?
Oh, okay.
If I ask you where it is, I don't want you to have to look it up. I want you to just know it in your soul. And just say it's Isaiah 57:20. I just want you to say it. The wicked are getting hit in the nose with this big old lock. Isaiah hitting them in the nose with a lock. And that's what they get. They're no rest. They keep getting hit in the nose with that lock. If you can tell me that, I'll figure it out, okay?
Okay.
But if you don't remember that, what good are you going to be to help me remember it?
I help you remember another verse.
Chant it.
What verse is it where God has the secret things, Tim?
24:24.
I thought it was 29:29.
Okay, see, okay. You're very good. You're very good. You're right. Yeah, blessed you are.
What good are you, Tim? What good?
Huh?
What's that? What good?
That was a nice little test, Tim.
Don't sound like much, does it?
That was nice. That was a nice test to say the wrong F, and then you say the right one. You say very good.
He black.
You
ass.
So strong. Did you take a 5 hours?
Who, me?
Tim.
Oh,
ma'am.
Oh, Gary,
he
did say
you probably
drank a 5 hour before you started preaching, though.
I took a portion.
Yeah, it did.
I took a portion.
The light filter in his spirit.
Citrus Hill Select wasn't working. My juices wasn't flowing, so I took some 5 hours. You remember that commercial, yep. Citrus Hill Select, get your juices flowing.
Then Dree about to spew stuff out of her mouth. But y'all better understand, these sodomites, they serious about taking over worship.
Yeah.
Get into the black gospel, you'll see.
You're right. You're definitely right.
I just wonder how close people would walk to God if there was a gene you could just cut out or put something in their arm so they wouldn't try to be so sexy.
They actually found something. They call it, I think it's atrazine or something that make them want men want men.
I saw that. What? They did that with them frogs.
Yeah.
And I heard that wasn't true.
Really?
Really?
That don't mean it's not. You don't. Look, they making science, okay? They make well, it, they even if it's not. They, in other words, they making knowledge, whether it's true or not.
They had it on. It the guy was on the TED. He was on another thing. He has a wife and a couple of kids, and he was saying that he said that he know that it does something.
Maybe people don't want you to know it. Maybe folks don't want it to be known, and then they'll say it's not true. I don't know. I know they were making fun of Alex Jones talking about frogs being turned gay or something.
Why would they pick at him for that when that was something they put out?
When you got a problem and you don't like Alex Jones, you can label everything he say as to be something that's wrong.
They don't want you to know that homosexuals are manufactured beings. They want to act like, oh, they just came like that. No, you made them that way. So when he said that, he said, I lost just about everything. But I just wanted to tell people I got it. So he may have people calling him saying we want it.
Can't it?
He may have been advertising. You know, they like those ladyboys, those things in other countries, Thailand and... You know what would stop these perverts from giving them some and doing stuff to them?
Do you almost wish dispensationalism was true?
I don't know it well enough to say. I don't know it well enough.
That Jesus he'll just come back from the sky and he'll just stop it all, cut down the wicked. Stop the folly. Stop all this sexiness and all this murdering and all of this lying and false profiting and but it's our job to make it on earth as it is in heaven. And we want to abdicate and relinquish our responsibility and jettison it into the lap of Jesus. And it's like, but I got you. I got you way before Sonny and Cher ever had that song.
There's a like digital kind of
Are there any more comments, thoughts, or questions tonight?
Yes, how did you determine it with his grandmother?
It got confusing a little bit. So I was reading, and there was giving me two or three different passages, and I had them written down for last week. So I can't remember exactly, but I know in Kings, it'll say something about Makkah being Absalom's daughter. I think it's in the Kings. And I think it's in an earlier chapter. I'm trying to remember. But I think it's actually, it might be in Samuel, because we read about Solomon around the 13th, 14th chapter of Samuel. So somewhere around there, because it talks about him not having posterity, because I think he had three children, one of whom was a daughter, and I forgot he ended up building a memorial because his sons wasn't going to be able to, you know, go on and so forth. So he has a sister Tamar but he has a daughter who later on has a daughter, and he, let me see if I get this right. He marries someone and they have a daughter. He names his daughter Tamar after his sister. She has Micaiah or Micah. And so, and then I think it's in the Kings. So we got, I think, got Samuel, 2 Samuel. And then we have Kings where it says, I think it says he's married to Uriel. Wait a minute, let me get it right. Yeah, that his daughter is married to Uriel. So it starts, so I started looking, I was like, so this is getting strange, because like, I was like, okay, there's Solomon, there's Absalom, there's brothers and so forth. So I'm like, how did this happen? So you see it comes through his daughter. And then I can't remember if I read it in the Chronicles too, but in looking at those passages and reading and then trying to trace back, because I had written it down and was trying to do like a little family tree. I did one and it wasn't right. And then I did another one. But I had to keep reading. And then I was reading that, like, when you see son, it can be grandson, it can be great-grandson and all of that.
Right,
and he said
that
the word daughter could be the same. So when you start trying to follow it and you see that Uriel is married to us, like, it kind of does some canceling out. And though I'm not explaining it that well, that seems to be. And so even though I said grandmother tonight, there's a part of me that want to say great-great-grandmother, but I'm kind of seeing several things side by side, yeah, in my mind. Okay. And so I was like, so removed a grandmother.
Yeah. Okay. So if that's the case, then she was a princess.
You're talking about Micaiah. Okay, let me get again.
Talks about her being, you're talking about the mother of Absalom, right?
Okay, so let me, because there's two Micaiahs, actually.
Okay.
Make sure.
Okay.
The mother of, let me see if I can get it right. The mother
of Absalom was Micaiah.
But, okay, so Absalom also has a daughter,
and he named the daughter, Tamar, so
the daughter's Tamar,
and Tamar has a Maaka,
right?
Is that what you're
saying? Right.
Okay, gotcha.
And it starts getting really crazy, because when I first started reading it about last week, because I started reading it 2 weeks ago, and then I was like, oh, that's the week I said I'm not ready yet, because I was like, I'm getting real confused, so I'm like, I'm not gonna try it, so I did something else, and so. Yeah, so there's probably more than that, Micaiah. Just like there's the two Tamars, and then we see like we did the Abijam, just Jeroboam has an Abijam, and then
they would do that with each other,
right? And I'm like, good grief,
same thing.
Yeah, and then Rehoboam has an Abijam, but Jeroboam's Abijam died. You know, and it didn't, it complicates it, because there was that prophet named Ahijah, which I had a while problems with his name. And so, of course, we're going to see a whole bunch more of that. But I'm trying to say, OK, I want to be a little bit better than I was years ago. We'll see what happens. But yeah.
OK.
Andrina.
Yes, sir.
You can right click on Logos on her name.
Okay.
Move to the left panel. And one of those Bible dictionaries. And let me just say what I'm saying. You can right click on.
No, I don't know why you're saying it. Because I'm sitting at the table. So you saying right click on her name. Okay. And then do what?
Go to the left side of the panel.
Yes, sir.
And slide down the curtain and slide down that thing. It'll give you Bible dictionaries or Bible encyclopedias. You can open up either one, whether it's McClintock and Strong or Anchor Yale Bible or Baker, whichever one you choose. Or you can click on Factbook. You got all those choices on the left side just from that name.
Okay.
Me and Gary can do the same thing when he in Lagos. He has the powers. He can rebuild it. Does Dre have to come to Atlanta for work this week?
Not that I know of.
Because there's a lot of people coming from the Carolinas, they say.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I know in one part of, I can't remember if it was near Columbia, but they said they had, where you had different, let's say, traffic going against each other, that turned it all going one way in one part of it, of the state.
Yep. Been a lot of hurricanes under Trump.
It might be weather warfare.
Could be. Dr. Nick Begich talked about it.
Men don't play this harp.
But you know what they send one way can be sent another way for them too.
I was thinking about that today, what you just said, and I was like, I just wonder.
Do you know how black people got all excited about Colin Kaepernick and how they got all excited about Wakanda and Nike and all of that?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about how we can just click a button and black people will spend their money and get upset. But Ann told me that that Nike set up something in Chicago to get black people locked up, but they don't talk about that. We shouldn't be so moved by every wind of doctrine and the slight and cunning craftiness of men, because
yep.
that's a doctrine that you black, and if something is said, you better get upset.
Yep.
That's just like that thing with Serena Williams. I wanted to know if what she said was true. If what she was saying is, because I know they called her a man.
Mm-hmm.
They called her some of any and everything, and then she's roiding and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard what Ken Martin told me. It's true that they treat her differently than they treat the men that, you know, got something to say. And then that Martina Navratilova that looked like she wanted to be a man, she said, it's true, but it doesn't excuse it. Nobody should be doing wrong. But that's not the issue. Why wouldn't you say something about the wrong to start with that the men did? She said that they don't do the same thing and cost the man the game. So this is their world. And in their world, what they want to do, as you and I talked about, Ann, I really believe that they're doing everything in their power to get black people to do something and to have like a civil war so that we can really put you all under animal control.
Well, ain't that what that movie was that called it Purge?
I said they were doing a purge in Chicago.
That's why all those people were dying.
When I saw that, I was like, oh Lord, they don't need to put that out.
Yeah, they said that after that movie came out, then that's when they started, all those killings started happening in Chicago. But they sent a bait truck out in one of the Chicago neighborhoods. And they wanted to see if get people to jump in and steal it or steal the stuff off of it or whatever. But the people began to, you know, they like was like, what that truck doing here? And why would somebody drive that truck here?
Mm-hmm.
So what they did is they just started watching the truck. And they figured out that they planted this truck. And that they trying to see if we going to go in here and try to steal. And they going to lock us up. They baiting us. Mm. And so you know, they said it was a Nike. They use Nike. Mm-hmm. The Nike tennis shoes, so it was supposed to be shoes. And they put it and waited for them to get it so they can be arrested. And the people found out and recorded and was able to catch them going to the truck, the police, and some of the rail yard security going to the truck and checking on it, and they can say, we knew that it was a setup. And they say, you need to do something about this, but it was, they set it up. They say, well, people been stealing our rail cars, and so we decided, you know, to catch the person, we'll set up a truck in the neighborhood. Well, will you just set up another rail car, right?
Wow.
Why would you set up a truck? Why wouldn't you just set up another rail car if that's what they're stealing? If they're stealing off the rail car, then you set up another rail car. You don't put a Nike truck in the neighborhood and leave it there. You say, yeah, one of these black things, we know they gonna steal. They probably 10 of them. They probably gonna do it together. And they need it. But they figured it out. So, you know, I was surprised at this when I see this person taking this contract from Nike. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. That's kind of crazy.
Yep. And you said they did that in Chicago?
They did it in Chicago, yes. It's a, you can find it on the internet. It's a video on YouTube where they showing it. They showing it, y'all set us up.
And Trina,
we know it. Huh?
Isn't Obama half white and Colin Kaepernick half white?
Yes.
I mean, some things are coincidence. That doesn't necessarily necessitate a correlation. But it does make me just do the Arsenio Hall and make me say,
Yeah, so when it's like, oh, he signed this contract with Nike, and it's like, what? Then they lend themselves to set up some black people, and now black people supposed to be excited about this? Why are we supposed to be excited about this?
Mm.
It makes no sense. It's stupid. And black people say, I'm gonna go out and buy Nike. They don't understand that these people are baiting them again. This time they're gonna get paid off the bait for real.
Wow.
You're being baited. Oh, we so proud of Nike, they so and so. But you so anti-white. Who is Nike owned by? Didn't they have some people that was, they was over there dogging black people and they were working at like sweatshops?
I don't know.
Well, here we go again. This is what you need to be excited about now, black people. You all are aimless beasts. And we need to give you something to focus on, because if we don't, you'll go wild. You are a wild ass dromedary.
Wait till the time come they lock us up in cages and keep us inside at night. Cause best fully assured, you gonna talk about the alt, what they call alt-right and skinheads. The ones that are in charge running this place, they have a white face. So the ones that's going to be the problem will be us. The others will be able to blend in, grow their hair long, cover their tattoos.
You know, I watched this video today. I forced myself to go ahead and watch it all. But it was pretty much talking about how did the founding fathers feel about racism, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going back and then founding out of the United States.
You breaking up a little bit, Ann.
They say they wanted to ship all the black people out of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
They bragged about how many owned slaves. I say it's a brag, but what he was saying is that many of them were slave owners of the first maybe 11, you know, maybe one or two out of the first 11 were not,
mm-hmm.
but they were all slave owners. So he said that the title was, how did the founding fathers feel about racism? What did they think about racism? So in essence, he was saying they really approved of it. They were slaveholders. They went through Lincoln and said, yeah, these are the things that Lincoln has said. They went through Jefferson and then some of the things that Jefferson has said about slaves and investing in them. And he's going on and he's saying, and this is how they even wanted to, they made decrees and made treaties and bought land to ship black people to Liberia. And then the people were so grateful, you know, that they was going to, people that slaved here, they were mm-hmm. so grateful that they were shipping them back to Africa that they called the place Monrovia. And so that was because of President Monroe. He was the one that got up, that had this American society that, it's another word in there, I'll think about it in a minute, but American Colonization Society. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna move all the black people out of America. And they're going to relocate them to Liberia. We're going to give you a piece of land in Liberia. And we're going to ship all of them back. And he was saying, this is how the founding fathers felt about racism. They felt that all the black people need to go. Like, we've accomplished what we've accomplished. They can go back to Africa. And so... And I was like, okay, this is how y'all really feel.
mm.
You all really feel this way. And so the way he put it together is, you know, it was going to give you all the quotes that they had and the slaves that they owned and, you know, things like that. And it's like, okay. So they feel as if it's going against them now, you know, and that it shouldn't be that way, that it's all of this white hate, you know, and you know, you want to take down everything that is us and you want to wipe us out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking like these people systematically plan genocide on the people. And it wasn't just us, they did it in other places. And then you gonna cry victim? Because nobody cares anymore? It's, and you know, everybody know who you are now? Huh?
Okay. Oh, wow.
Anyway. Okay, so I'm still thinking about that, like,
Was that a documentary, Ann?
It was like a 7 or 8 minute video.
Okay, and so if I just typed in
other videos, huh?
So what would I like type Monrovia in there or something?
I'll tell you. Let me find it on my account.
Is his name? Dree and I have decided that we will take care of Saturday.
Okay.
So we will we'll bring something.
Okay, erasing our racist past is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you should type in because it's from American Renaissance.
Okay.
Erasing our racist past. There was another one I watched. But then I watched another video where the white woman told the truth about everything he said. She wasn't exactly addressing what he said, mm-hmm. but she confirmed what he said by her own account. And it says white woman tells the truth about America. And it's about two or three parts to it.
Okay. Well, I put that in, so I got it. Well, I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna close the class. I need to look at a little bit of something for Lord willing tomorrow, but I have enjoyed the discussion immensely, and let's keep praying one for another. And I'm excited to see which route Tim's going to carry us when we get back into the 82nd division. And thank you all for your participation. And I'm glad you were speaking. You told me what you do sometime. I guess if I sound real pitiful, you'd be like, I ain't going to say
that. I do. I'd be like, okay.
Tim said, "No, he had five. He had some 5 hours."
Yes, he did.
I could feel it while I was staring. I was like, "I'm like, I'm having a little straw." I said, "Let me drink a little bit, about half of one." I felt that juice kick in. I said, like, "Okay."
And anyway. You preached it out, though.
Well, I'm gonna. Close the class out. Lord willing, we can connect back up on Thursday night. So,
yes, and
I let Josiah watch that thing. Naomi hasn't seen it yet, so we talked just a little bit. But I had to, I was reading, so I got to read right now, Josiah. So, I hopefully get Naomi to look at it a little bit, so we can kind of talk about it. But I think I've been in my office about 15 minutes. And I try to check because I'm like, you never know. Like somebody be like, I need you to do this or something. I said, our coach sent me something. So I went ahead and looked at it and I was like, Lord have mercy.
I know it. We're like, no, not in the middle by day.
No, I'm like, I could feel it was just heavy. That's just nonsense, ridiculousness. But I saw what you said. We'll see what happened with regards to how that might apply in my life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Okay. All right. Good night, everybody.
Good night. Love y'all.
Right. Love y'all too. Y'all. Bye.
Good night.